Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
What is on your mind on this fine Wednesday? I'm Scott Henn, along with Todd the Radio God Mitchell, 550 K Fire, AM 1100 The Flag, Fargo Moorhead. And, of course, KTGO Tioga, KLTC Dickinson. Glad to have folks listening all across the Northern Plains joining the conversation today. A lot of our chatter concerning proposals from President Obama. We're going to hear from two lawmakers. South Dakota's Congresswoman Kristi Noem will join us momentarily. Senator John Hoeven a little later on this hour. And then also we're going to talk about the a pipeline you should hear more about than, you know, Keystone XL gets a lot of attention, but the Sandpiper pipeline, the comment period is on right now. Very important project. Our friends from Enbridge are going to be here to talk a little bit about that. Welcome your calls, questions, and comments on the program, so stay tuned. That is coming up on What's on Your Mind. Here's how you join the conversation. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, and your email is welcome as well, studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. Feel free to tweet us a note. I just received a tweet from Kristi Noem. She was jumping on the phone, and she has got that tweet. Now I'm talking to you live on the radio. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad you're following me. That's good to hear.
Exactly. I'm a follower, and I retweeted it, just so you know. So,
you did? Oh,
yes.
That's great. It's going to be a good day.
It's going viral now.
Oh, there we go.
So I'm sure there was a lot like me that that you had your head shaking last night about from President Obama's laundry list there. But give me something you liked. What was the best part of last night in the State of the Union?
The best part would have to probably be when he referenced that he wanted to get some trade agreements accomplished, because those would be huge for our region. We've got a lot of agriculture commodities that really could be marketed out to Asia and to the European Union. And if we could get these trade agreements done, that would really help our economy throughout the Midwest and the entire country, frankly.
Yeah, and is there pretty strong support on the congressional side? Is that one you think you're going to look back and say we got her done?
You know, in the past, it's always been bipartisan, but the struggle people are having this time around is that in order to do that, you have to give the president TPA authority, which allows him to negotiate the finer details of these agreements. And with this president, it's tough to trust him, you know, and to give him the kind of authority to negotiate on our behalf is a struggle, yet we know that we have no chance of getting these agreements finalized if we don't go through that step and through that process. So the committee that I sit on, Ways and Means, will have a hearing on that TPA authority here in March, and we'll be moving forward on it and try to put some parameters on it that will keep this president reined in as to how far he can go in these talks.
Margie sent in a note. She says, I just hope and pray that you and the other majority Republicans will fight and stop being so darn nice to the Democrats. We won the last election to try and send a message. We want change. And by the way, she has change in caps. We want change. She's shouting that. Listen to the voters. I'm afraid the party will just throw up their hands and say, well, we tried, and he'll veto away. Get some backbone and go for what is right. We hear that from a lot of our listeners. You hear that from South Dakotans?
I do. I hear mixed. You know, people are anxious to see some people working together to actually solve the big problems that we face, yet they're sick and tired of this president back in the bus over them all the time. You know, and he in the speech set a record last night for the amount of times he talked about vetoing bills. He spent a lot of time talking about what he won't do rather than how he wants to fix things. And he talked about, oh, giving tax credits and tax breaks for different instances. You know, Republicans want to give tax relief to everybody. We want to make sure that everybody has the chance to pursue an opportunity and be successful and have security. But he has been divisive, and he's been divisive by class and by income, and has definitely not been the unifier that we need in these difficult days.
We spent a good chunk of the last hour talking about one of the proposals of 2 years of quote-unquote free community college. And most of our listeners think, number one, if that's an idea worthy of consideration, it's something states ought to do, as they have in other places. Others saying it's not free, and you know, the federal government in some fiscal peril right now. So why a $60 billion proposal? What do you think of that idea?
Well, there's absolutely no conversation and nothing mentioned in the speech last night about our debt. and how we're going to take care of that, much less even stop deficit spending. So everything that he talked about doing and spending more money on, for me, I have to think, well, if we're going to give free college to students, they get out of school and move on into their lives, them and their children and grandchildren are going to have to someday pay for it with interest that we are borrowing from foreign countries. That's certainly not a wise decision. I don't know of anybody who would say that's a good idea. Unfortunately, it's not a real solution anybody can consider. We would all love to have everybody get the best education possible. I got my education, took me 20 years to do it, and I worked three jobs the whole time I was in college right out of high school. And I'm pretty proud of my degree. It was hard work. But you know what? It means a lot to me today, too.
Another head-scratcher for me was no challenge, quoting the president, no challenge, he said twice, poses a greater threat to future generations than climate change. Where's that one rank on your list as far as challenges for future generations?
Well, not very high, because I get my priorities and what I should be working on based off of what people think in South Dakota, United States, and what they need. And if you look at polls, I think they say 27 to 34% of the people across the country think that climate change is a real issue. So above that, they put the economy. Above that, they put national security up in the 80s, 90%. That's how concerned they are with it. So I'm going to focus on those. And certainly, we've always been good stewards in the Midwest. We think it's important to take care of our environment, but we're also going to make sure that we don't really take money out of people's pockets when they're so desperately trying to make ends meet.
Ed in Bismarck, question for Congresswoman Kristi Noem, our guest on What's on Your Mind Today. Ed, go ahead. All right. Are you there, Ed?
Yes.
You got a comment or a question for Congresswoman Noem?
Scott, is this Scott?
You got me, sir. Yes, go ahead.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good. Hey, Scott, I want to just mention last night at the State of the Union speech. Did you hear it?
I did, every moment.
Okay, now, when Obama said that he don't want the Republicans to send him anything, he'll veto it for all the good things he's done and put into place. Number one, somebody should tell me one good thing he's put into place. And number two, if everything is so good that he put into place, why did they get such a shellacking in November? Where the people want this all to be stopped. If everything is in such good shape to what he put in place, why did the people in November vote to stop this man? Somebody tell me that.
That's a very good question, Ed. And we're gonna ask Congresswoman Noem to answer that. There was a lot of happy talk, I guess, for lack of a better term, Congresswoman, and it doesn't match real well, like Ed's saying, with the last election. What do you make of that?
You know, the president is a good speech giver. He's just not a problem solver, and we need results. So when he was making those kind of statements, he was very much focused on himself. He was not looking at these last elections and how many Democrats lost their seat as reflective of him, which is how he should be viewing it. I sat last night during the State of the Union by Chairman Klein, who in his history, he carried the football for President Reagan. He carried the nuclear codes for him, a very successful president that did what he could to perpetuate peace and bring people together. And then I also sat by the Canadian ambassador. And so when the president specifically said, we need to quit focusing on a single pipeline and start talking about our infrastructure, that Canadian ambassador said, oh, my goodness, I feel like, I took that one. Straight in, he said, I will be doing press all day tomorrow all over Canada trying to explain what he meant by that. It was very interesting to sit by him and to see how important it is to them and how much they want to benefit our economy by putting the pipeline through the United States and what this president is trying to do to stop it.
And, yeah, we I don't know if that's received enough attention. We are really dissing a key ally in that whole deal and how we've treated Canada in that. And he mocked it, as you say, last night and said, hey, let's rather than focus on a single pipeline, how about some other stuff? Well, how long would that take? Because one pipeline's been dragged through a bureaucratic, just red tape for the purpose of pandering to a group of constituents and extreme environmentalists. Sad deal. Ron and Kildare for Congresswoman Noem. We only have a minute left, so get your question in quick here, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah, Congresswoman, you talked about doing something with the deficit. Can you tell us what specific programs you would cut? Thank you.
Well, goodness, there's a lot of them that I've already voted to cut. I think I voted for over $6 trillion worth of spending cuts since I've been in Congress. But, I mean, there's just specific small things. I've voted, you know, to cut the IRS. I think we voted to cut their budget by about 18%, the EPA. But I've also voted to remove the unanticipated needs fund from the White House. They have a fund that they use that's billions of dollars just for whatever might come up. We have a fund for Ireland that I voted to remove. I've also voted to remove the Historic Whaling Partners Fund, which is a fund that certainly doesn't need to be a priority anymore. I would like to get rid of all of these excess dollars that have gone places for years and prioritize them towards settling our debt and our deficit, and then start putting money into our priorities, which should be infrastructure, which should be making sure that we can take care of our national security concerns. And
we didn't hear,
you know,
a lot
we've
about
been very aggressive coming
either.
Up with a budget. We hope we can continue to do that.
Right off the ranch, common sense from our friend Congresswoman Kristi Noem. Thanks so much. Good to hear you. Senator John Hoeven, when we come back for his take on last night's address, stay tuned.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Clean never sleeps. Not at the North Dakota Truck Wash. Stanley, North Dakota on the truck bypass just south of the Pinnacle there. Megan's on the phone. What does 24/7 service mean for truckers, Megan?
Yeah, absolutely. We are open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Our shortest wait times are during the evenings, anytime after 8 p.m. and anytime before 8 a.m. is the best time to come and get your truck washed.
All right, so no waiting, 24/7, no appointments necessary. Just come on in and they'll get you in line at the North Dakota Truck Wash. Stanley, North Dakota.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
I love Don Williams. That's what I love. Gets me in a good place. Well, Don Williams, bumper music to bring us back in for another segment, brought to you in part today by our friends at the Northwest Landowners Association. You can find out more about them at nwlandowners.com. N for North, W for West, landowners.com. That's easy, isn't it? I hope so. Check them out. Find out more. They're walking the halls of the state capitol as we speak right now. on your behalf, working to obtain fair and equitable compensation for landowners in North Dakota, ensure the sustainability of our precious land for generations to come, a point of view that they often hearken back to former Governor Art Link, who very eloquently made that point. So, anyway, check him out at nwlandowners.com. These guys are pro-energy. They also make sure that landowners get a seat at the table. They do good work. Appreciate the good work they do, and you'll be seeing lots of them at the legislature as well. Senator John Hovind joins us now to talk about last night's State of the Union address. Senator, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Good morning, Scott. Good to be with you, and greetings to your listeners.
So, surprised you didn't hear us more of something like anything, or just more of the same from sort of a defiant president? What's your take on
disappointed. Yeah, disappointed. Look, the thing I was looking for is for him to lay out some areas where we can work together, get the job done for the American people, and for some indication from him that, you know, he understands that the last vote was very clear and that the American people want to get things done. And, you know, he spent the whole first half of the speech talking about things that, you know, he wants to do, like raise taxes, increase regulation, grow government, spend more, the things that, you know, clearly are the problem, not the solution, that we're not going to do, and that I think the voters spoke very clearly on. And that's too bad. I mean, we need to get things done for the American people, and that's what we're going to work to do in Congress.
Craig in Bismarck, question for Senator John Hovind at 800-228-0550. Go ahead, Craig.
Hello.
Good morning, Craig.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, I hear the debate on this, the Canadian pipeline, the Trans-Canada, you know, and you know, there's certain things that have to happen, but there's a lot of people saying what's going to happen from it, but I would like to say, when was the Alaskan pipeline put in? Was that in the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm sure they had to do environmental studies to put that in. I don't know what year it was, but I wasn't real old then, but I remember hearing how the caribou were going to die off and all the vegetation was going to die off and this and that. And this is a real life model of what really happened. Why aren't we talking more about what really happened, such as the vegetation has done nothing but flourish? The caribou herds have grown massively along that. And last I checked, I'm not a scientist, but plants take in carbon dioxide, don't they, during the day?
Right.
So
right.
Having extra vegetation absorbs more carbon. There's more for the animals to eat. That's the proven fact of what the Alaskan pipeline did. And the last thought is, I believe we probably had to get permission of the Canadian government to do that, and then here, look what we're doing to them.
Well, Craig, you make a lot of good points, and some of them I've used. I have referenced the Alaskan pipeline. I think that is a good precedent, and it's provided a tremendous amount of energy to our country. And it also makes the point that the Keystone XL pipeline is not just moving Canadian crude. It's also going to move domestic crude from the Bakken region that we produce. And so I think you make great points. And, you know, the president, of course, as usual, had to criticize this effort on our part to build necessary energy infrastructure last night in the State of the Union. And it's unfortunate because on the one hand, he talks about doing a highway bill, and I'm all for doing a highway bill. I think we can do it. We've got some good ideas, I think, on how we can get a long-term highway bill done. But then he's holding up other important infrastructure projects, energy infrastructure projects, in this case like Keystone XL. And one of the big differences is, whereas a highway bill is paid with taxpayer dollars, projects like Keystone, $8 billion, that's all private investment that he's holding up at a time when we need that infrastructure not only to build our energy future so we don't have to get oil from the Middle East and so that we don't have this backlog on our rail as we try to move our ag goods and other products. So you make good points, and along with those points, we're trying to make others and pass this bill, and I believe we will. And then we'll have to fight it out with the president on his veto threat.
Did you think that was a bit of a cheap shot, his last night, rather than focus on a single oil pipeline? We ought to do a bigger picture. I mean, I was thinking, well, you know what, you want to do more stuff, yet you've gummed up the works on this one pipeline, so you can almost throw that back in his face. But was that a bit of a cheap shot, did you think?
Yeah, well, certainly, and it's a total false choice. I mean, so he's going to hold up projects that are funded with private dollars that create revenue at the local, state, and federal level to help reduce the deficit. He's going to hold those up, and the only projects he's going to approve are ones that are financed by the governor, by the government at taxpayer expense. I mean, that it goes to his mindset that is the problem. And that's why, again, it's frustrating when we listened to him last night. He's doing the things that actually hold up our economy and hurt job creation and even hurt our ability to get to energy independence instead of empowering our small businesses and our entrepreneurs and the great American ingenuity that built this country.
Hey, Craig, thanks for the call. Going to get Ron and Langsford in here. Ron, your question for Senator Hovind. Go ahead.
Yes, Senator Hovind. Saw you on the Chris Wallace show last Sunday. I thought you did a great job presenting your case on the pipeline.
Thank you.
And my question for you today is regarding Bo Bergdahl. I'm a veteran, and I'd like to know what's happening with this young man.
Well, first off, thanks for your service. I appreciate it so much, and we all do. And I had, if I could, I'd just like to mention that I had Lynn Oz with me last night at the State of the Union. Lynn Oz is from Minot. I've known him pretty much all my life. He's 93 years old, and he fought at the Battle of the Bulge. And he was airborne. He came in on a glider. He was there for the entire Battle of the Bulge. He was one of, a few in his unit that survived. There were many killed. And he was finally wounded crossing the Rhine River. And just an amazing story, an amazing guy. And it was just such an honor to have him, and it reminds just reminds us of what you and all our veterans have done. But it was sure fun to have him. As far as Bo Bergdahl, we're waiting to hear the results of the inquiry regarding his release and what the administration did and what exactly happened when he left his unit. And of course, there is real frustration, and I believe that the Senate Armed Services Committee will try to get to the bottom of that because the administration has not been forthcoming on it.
By the way, the Lynn Oz thing last night, a definite highlight. I think it's great. I think it was really a neat thing. We got to find some things that we like out of it, from last night. But really, what a neat way to honor him. And kudos to you. And,
Scott, as I took him around and introduced him to people, introduced him to senators, their face would just light up when they'd meet him. It was really something.
Very neat deal. All right, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Appreciate the take on it. Keep battling, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Scott. Good to be with you.
Senator John Hovind with us. When we come back, Enbridge Pipeline officials. I'll tell you about a pipeline you don't hear a lot about. You should. Sandpiper. That when we continue. Don't go away.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question. Every day, what's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Did you go to guns80.com and get your AR-15 yet? I took my buddy Mark out to lunch the other day to thank him for turning me on to guns80.com, and suddenly our old pal Dan showed up and joined us. Of course, Mark immediately started selling him on the great deals at guns80.com and told him how you can buy a brand new rifle at a great price, keep your privacy, and how it can be delivered right to your front door, and that there was no visit to a gun dealer involved, there are no government papers to fill out. Dan was such an easy sell. He just pulled out his iPhone right there and went to guns80.com and ordered his Ghost AR. Wow. You can call guns80.com right now. Their number is 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. By the way, demand they pay market commission, okay? Call guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80 and demand they pay Mark, please. He deserves a commission. Go to 844-2-GUNS-80 and get your Ghost AR-15 on the web at guns80.com. Go now.
Top of the hour. We're going to talk about the Sandpiper pipeline here a little bit. An important deadline coming up for you to comment on this. And I happen to believe, there's so much conversation, even last night at the Keystone XL pipeline. We just heard from Senator Hovind and Congresswoman Kristi Noem and a lot of the news chatter, the political chatter centers around the Keystone XL pipeline. But there's number one, there are just an enormous amount of projects are on the drawing board that are very important, and this Sandpiper is one of them. We're going to talk today with our friends from Enbridge about how you can play a role in making sure this happens and what it ultimately will accomplish. Barry Simonson, who is the senior manager for engineering and construction of the Sandpiper pipeline, got an expert here for you to answer our questions, joins us from Enbridge. Barry, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And also the community relations advisor is here as well. Katie Harsager is here. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. Katie, I know there's a deadline coming up soon where folks can comment on this. And far too often, in my mind, environmental extremists dominate this process rather than people who, want to see the price of gas go down, for instance, or want to see, more pipeline infrastructure, more energy infrastructure so we can get trucks off the road and have more train traffic for ag products is two fine examples, and don't engage in this process because they just see it as a no-brainer and it ought to happen. But one of the reasons we're dedicating this half hour of the program is to really engage folks to participate in these because your voice needs to be heard. What's happening and how can folks weigh in on this?
I'm glad that you asked the question. We do have an important deadline coming up, January 23rd. So just this Friday is the last day to submit any public comments to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission on the Sandpiper project. And it's a great opportunity, like you said, for people in the community who might have comments, concerns, to voice those through the regulatory process. We just had some hearings over in Minnesota in several different locations, and we had a lot of people who showed out to those and showed support for the project, which is great to see from a North Dakota perspective, to have those in Minnesota and Wisconsin also show up, support, and talk about the need for the Sandpiper pipeline.
And then we're going to come back to that and how you can weigh in on that comment period that is coming close, as Katie mentioned. Let's give you some details on this pipeline, on its route, and what it ultimately would do. And Barry, that's where you come in. Give us the overview. What is the Sandpiper pipeline?
Sure, thank you. The Sandpiper Pipeline is a project that Enbridge and now North Dakota Pipeline Company has been working on for a few years now. And what it consists of is transporting crude oil out of the prolific Bakken region to the markets within the Midwest and North America. And the method by which we're doing that is a pipeline, 616 miles of pipeline that traverses from western North Dakota, Beaver Lodge, Tioga area, easterly through the state of North Dakota, about 300 miles, and that diameter is 24 inch. Once it gets to Minnesota, just south of Grand Forks, East Grand Forks, we'll be proposing a new terminal in Clearbrook, Minnesota, and then the pipeline will traverse south down around the Park Rapids area, east all the way to our existing Superior Terminal. There will also be other appurtenances and facilities such as block valves, et cetera, throughout the entire route. But between our engineering and environmental group, as well as public affairs and other functional groups within the company, we've put a lot of time into this project. It's been a two-year project, two to three years, and we feel we've done a lot of our due diligence for a permitting approach through North Dakota, Minnesota, as well as our environmental permitting agencies.
And is it fair to say that the majority of the objections have been from Minnesota right now? Is that where you're needing the most amount of folks to weigh in on this?
Predominantly, yes. That would be a fair assessment at this point in time.
And address the concerns you've heard. Are there anything you've heard that can be overcome in the way of a concern?
Yeah, there are. You know, the concerns we have in Minnesota predominantly have been relative to the route that we've chosen, we have an existing system with an Enbridge that goes through areas such as Bemidji, Cass Lake, and that's the area where we have 6 to 7 existing pipelines. That being said, we've chosen a different route that goes south out of Clearbrook down to Park Rapids and then east. But we've taken into account the fact that we want to co-locate with existing utilities. So we've done that by the way of there's existing pipeline systems that go south to Park Rapids and down to the Minnesota or Minneapolis area where there's refineries. So we've tried to do that, but in part, there's been some awareness by individuals through the routing process and the PUC that are somewhat skeptical of the route and would like a different route for the project itself. Now, we've done our due diligence in terms of planning. I mentioned that earlier. We've got over 150,000 plus hours on the ground between environmental survey, engineering data that we've acquired for the appropriate design of the pipeline and the valves so that we can attain safety, integrity, and respect for the project itself.
And just to do me a favor, walk through not only what the Sandpiper would have in the way of safeguards, but just in general, how the Enbridge system works in the way of safety. I don't think that gets enough attention, to tell you the truth, on just how many different protocols and things that are in place to catch anything that might happen in the way of a spill or the what ifs.
Oh, that's a good question. It really starts out with proper planning and the appropriate materials. We're sourcing very high-grade steel for the pipe itself as well as other facilities materials. The coatings also are a fusion bond epoxy, which they've been prevalent for a few years now, but we use fusion bond epoxy, which adheres very, very well to the pipe and prohibits corrosion from occurring. In addition to that, we utilize what's called a intelligent valve placement study, where we understand the flow of the pipe, of what the product's going to be in the pipeline, the pressures, the terrain, any high consequence areas such as drinking water areas, water bodies, etc. And we place valves in locations that are optimal for the design of the pipeline. Going further with the valves, at each valve location, we will be able to, through our control center, be able to monitor the pressure and temperature at each valve location 24/7. So that allows us to monitor the flow, the pressure, and any abnormalities that may occur on that pipeline, which we don't foresee to happen going forward.
And Katie, can you walk through some of the the numbers of what you anticipate this particular pipeline would carry, and what that means for lessening the impact on the need to have it on rail or have it on truck, because that's something I think is important in this as well. I mean, it's serving a need, but we hear a lot in the oil impacted communities and more statewide in North Dakota about oil traffic, and we've just had a robust debate over the last year about difficulties for farmers and the competition for the rail space as well. So this is another thing to consider when we're talking about this, correct?
Definitely. No, I'd be happy to talk about that. The project itself is definitely increasing that energy independence and getting some more capacity out of the Bakken in this region. Here in Minot, we see those rail cars traveling through every day. We see those trucks on the road. And so a project like this really does help reduce that. Sandpiper in that project, is going to carry 225,000 barrels per day into Clearbrook, and then adding that extra capacity from what we have from Line 81, it's going to be taking 375,000 per day into all the way Superior. So that's really cutting down on the amount of trucks and rail cars, crunching the numbers just through all of our teams. Those numbers look like potentially alleviating as much as almost 3,700 trucks per day on close to 1,700 rail cars. So you're really seeing a reduction in our communities for, the amount of truck traffic and rail traffic, impacting those areas.
Very good thing to keep in mind as well, without question. What kind of timeline are you on this? We mentioned earlier that obviously you got a comment period that goes through January 23rd, so that's on Friday at 4 o'clock, and we're going to give you an address and a place where you can either go online or send those to before we're done. So grab a pen and paper and one way to weigh in on that. But, with the approvals track, when is oil moving, Katie?
Right now, our anticipated in-service date would be 2017. So we do have a little bit of a delay just going through the regulatory process, making sure that we're doing that due diligence through everybody. So, right now we're looking at early 2017 as an in-service to start moving some more oil out of the Bakken.
Questions or comments, welcome for our guest Menbridge here today as well at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Have one email question here concerning a story that was out recently on a stressed bat species that could threaten that. You mentioned earlier how much work you guys have done, Barry, on the front end of this. And this emailer is thinking it's ridiculous that something as essential as this could be derailed by a bat species being added to the endangered species list. But talk about that concern.
Sure. So our environmental department has done their due diligence, and they've noticed some issues in other states with regard to the long-eared bat. And up front, what our environmental group did, without being notified by any agencies to do so, is they went along the preferred route in North Dakota, Minnesota, and looked at areas where long-eared bats may be roosting. I'm not an expert on what they actually did, but I know a lot of the surveys were conducted at nighttime, where they use an outside consultant that specialized in this and found where the bats were roosting and put monitoring devices on them and were able to decipher where along that our preferred route where those bats may be roosting. Now, that data that came back found, and I believe there was a story out yesterday or this morning, that there were three or four areas where there might be a potential impact if construction were to occur along that those areas in Minnesota. Now, what we did then was internally we shifted the route in those three or four areas to ensure that we weren't impacting this long-eared bat species in the event that they were put on the endangered species list.
Got it. All right, Dale and Mandan with a question. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah. So I got a couple questions, actually. The first one, when it gets to wherever you're sending it to the east, the refineries there, do they have enough, volume to take care of this? Or what's going to happen with the surplus? Because most of our refineries have been built for years already and been handling pretty much all they could.
All right, and your next question, Dale?
And my next one is on the crude. I understand we can send crude out of the country, but there's supposed to be a bill in, whether it's done now or not, I don't know, to get refined fuel sent out of our country also.
All right, hang on for the answers on the other side of the break with our guests. Thanks.
Utah, we listen.
Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Biedelsbacher.
The North Dakota Soybean Council invites soybean farmers to the annual Northern Soybean Expo, Tuesday, February 17th at the Fargo Holiday Inn. Join us for a hot breakfast buffet at 8 a.m., followed by an exciting lineup of speakers. Internationally renowned economist Todd Buchholz will kick off the day at 9:45, discussing strategies for competing effectively in a global economy. The sensible environmentalist and former founder of Greenpeace International, Dr. Patrick Moore, will paint an innovative, hopeful future where civilization and the environment will survive and thrive. And finally, North Dakota native Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group will wrap up the afternoon with a dynamic market outlook. Be sure to join us on February 17th for the 2015 Northern Soybean Expo at the Fargo Holiday Inn. For more information, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Did you know every woman will layer on 14 pounds of toxins in use of cosmetics alone? Unfortunately, top brands women rely on to look their best may be hiding harsh chemicals that have been linked to cancer, organ failure, and birth defects. Longevity Minerals, an all-natural beauty line that heals your skin from the inside out. Try it today at www.morethanhighheels.com. That's www.morethanhighheels.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Deadline for comments on the Sandpiper pipeline that would take Bakken crude from the middle of the Bakken to Wisconsin. We're chatting today on the program with Barry Simonson, Enbridge Senior Manager for Engineering and Construction of the Sandpiper Pipeline, and Katie Harswager, who is the Community Relations Advisor for Enbridge. So before the break, Dale, I had two questions, and Katie or Barry, whichever wants to take this, go ahead. First question was, you know, where is it going? Do they have the capacity? And I guess two is whether or not a lifting of the ban, which is being proposed on exporting crude oil, would have any impact on the need for the pipeline.
Definitely. This is Katie here. I can help answer some of those questions, which are great. So as to, you know, where this product is going to be going after Superior, I guess first off, our line itself still will go into the Clearbrook area and have the ability to get to some of those refineries in Minnesota. And then after Superior, it's able to travel on the rest of Enbridge's pipeline network. At that point, it can definitely reach all the way down to the Gulf Coast and the East Coast areas as well, to some of those refinings where they have the ability to increase the amount, I guess, of lighter liquid refining, and to get that product out to the rest of the U.S.
By the way, who decides that then? Does the whoever owns the oil, do they decide?
Correct. Yep. All of our shippers that deliver capacity on Enbridge's lines, they have the ability to say, you know, what areas that they want that to go to, and, you know, they can choose to deliver that all across Enbridge's pipeline network. Or for North Dakota, you know, we do have the unique ability to also deliver some crude from Western North Dakota to a rail facility in Berthold. So if they want to get to the West Coast, for example, or all the way down to Florida in that area, we have that flexibility and we have those options available to our customers.
Yeah, very interesting. And again, that's the, that flexibility is extraordinarily important, especially you look at the price situation right now. You want to send it where you know there's the biggest need for it. So that that nimbleness of okay, Clearwater here, Superior here, then I can fan to where rail if we need it, really is exactly what the shippers are looking for the flexibility and the most safety, obviously, for pipelines is the safest way to get there. So a win-win there. How about on the crude side, does that change the pipeline world at all, or we need more of everything? And the idea being, you could rather than ship refined product, if the ban is lifted, you could ship crude over to overseas pipelines. So that that have any impact here potentially?
I think right now in the Sandpiper project and in North Dakota, we're really focusing on being able to deliver that capacity that we have domestically to those refineries here. And as for, you know, possibly exporting any of that refined product, you know, we are positioned North American-wide in a place to maybe eventually do that. But as of right now at Enbridge, I mean, we're really focusing on the pipelines that we have and really that increase in energy security, reducing that dependence on some of those imports from maybe less stable, unfriendly areas.
All right, Dale, appreciate the go ahead, Barry.
Sorry, I was going to mention one thing, too, is that our anchor shipper on Sandpiper is Marathon Petroleum, and they're one of the largest refineries in the Midwest. And so that's part of why we're a North Dakota pipeline company, because they have a capital stake in the project. That being said, much of this crude oil that's going to be transported through Sandpiper will be refined in the Midwest markets of the United States of America.
Got it. All right. And again, deadline coming Friday. Going to give you the information to weigh in on that. Just a few minutes left. Barry, anything else you want to get out there regarding this project so folks know about it?
Well, thanks for asking that question. Like I mentioned earlier, our team here in Superior, Wisconsin, has been working on this project for a long time, and we were hoping to start building in North Dakota this year, this coming year, but that's probably not going to happen. But this is the safest mode of transportation via pipeline, and I believe that Enbridge, based on our value structure of safety, integrity, and respect, can get this project complete per our goals, and in a safe and economical, environmentally friendly manner.
And you've done a good job of just giving us a sense of, you know, the time and effort that's gone in, research the dollars into the location. I think that gets lost sometimes. People just think you just draw a line, say here's where it's going to go, without understanding the enormous amount of work that goes into it. Katie, how about you? Anything else you want to add to get in here before we're done?
You know, one's project in the Sandpiper project is complete, that's really going to be, in addition to other projects that Enbridge has worked on in the area, about a $3.7 billion investment in Bakken projects, which really just goes to show that, you know, we're a committed neighbor, we want to be a good neighbor, and we'll do everything we can. We want to make sure that our folks reach out to us, whether they're using the regulatory process or they're just giving us a call to say, hey, you know, here's a project and here's what we're working on, and, you know, I'm a landowner and I just want to, you know, get some more information. So they've really done a great job of that, and we're really focused on investing in that infrastructure to move Bakken crude oil.
Where do the public comments go? Where should they go until that deadline on Friday afternoon?
There's several ways that folks can comment. They can comment online, by email, or physical mail. A lot of that information is available at mn.gov/PUC. So it's the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, or they can comment on the docket, and the docket number is 13-473. They can add their comment to the discussion. Another great location where all of this information is placed is minnesotaprojects.enbridge.com. It's a page dedicated to the Sandpiper Project, focused on the Minnesota process, but there's a lot of information for North Dakota residents on how they can get more involved in Sandpiper and learn more about the project and get involved.
Great information. Really appreciate that very much. And, you know, when you think about how many miles of pipeline there are underneath us, how much product of all kinds gets to where it's going without incident, it's a pretty extraordinary engineering feat, really, and we need to understand it better. Very extraordinary for our future energy needs. Thank you both very much. Great information today. Katie from Enbridge, as well as Barry Simonson, their Senior Manager for Engineering and Construction, and Katie Heisarger, the Community Relations Advisor. Thanks a bunch. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow on What's on Your Mind.
North Dakota and Minnesota's leading steel building contractor is Evercorp Building Systems. Jesse Everett, the owner, is on the phone with us. Jesse, I need a shop, an office, and a warehouse all in one. Can you take care of me?
Absolutely.
How long does the design process take?
3 weeks, and you've got your blueprints.
How long is delivery going to take?
We guarantee delivery in 4 weeks.
And when am I moving in?
We're going to have that building built in 90 days.
Tell me about the quality. What goes into an Evercorp building?
All North American-made steel. We tend to put big foundations under them that are engineered by local engineers that understand the conditions, and we tend to overdo it.
How do you price this so I get the best bang for my buck, Jesse?
We use 39 plants across the U.S. That's factory direct, which means you get the best price.
Jesse, you sold me. How do I reach you to talk about my next building project?
Just call me, 612-282-9922.
Or online at evercorpbuildingsystems.com. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.